Embark is Emmanuel, shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid all our sad divisions cease, and be yourself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
This part. So, hello, hello. A little bit. Where's Chuck at? Chuck, turn just down just a little bit. Oh, we got something going on up here.
You never know what, though.
Is that a baby bottle?
Our very first.
It's the tree of life. And this is a very interesting, here's your card. This is appreciation for what you two have done this last year for the church. And I've got to include, for my own benefit, Gene, your Wednesday night's leadership between you and Rod has really made a difference in my life. I got Well, I'll share just a little bit with you what's happened in the last 24 hours or so. I have a lot of customers and family that have called me, firewood customers, lumber customers. Yesterday afternoon, my phone was on fire, thanking me for what I have done for them this last year. And this is my first year that I've been able to go, Jesus is the reason for the season. I've been able to respond to each one of my customers and stuff that way. And it's because of you guys' leadership and what I have learned, the boldness of how to testify to people and encourage people in God to bring souls to Him. These people here have done that for our church. Here's a small token. Now this is different. It's little. Instead of decorating this tree on the outside, we've decorated on the inside. You people have. We really appreciate you guys, and we pray for you all the time.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. We count it a great privilege just to be able to serve and bring the word of the Lord to you, bring encouragement, and I'm just overwhelmed with your love. You guys are a really pretty good group, all in all, you know. And are the kids, Kathy? Where'd they go? They all leave already? I wanted them to hear this. I'm just going to read out of the book of Luke. My message today is called unto you this day a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. Okay, kids are all back. We're going to just read. I want to read this. It's good that we remember the reason for the season, like Bob said. And in fact, they did a poll this year, and the majority of the people said, I'd rather hear about Jesus on Christmas than Santa Claus. That's pretty good. Something's changing in the wind, amen? The world needs a Savior more now than ever, amen? And so, starting at, I guess it'd help if I get back to page one. Chapter 2 of Luke. I'm going to start with verse 6, and as soon as I'm done, the kids can go to their class. But so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Her was Mary, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the same which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. Amen. I'm just going to pray. Father, I just pray for the kids upstairs as they go into class. I pray that the words of this book will have great, great impact in their little young lives, Lord, that they will not ever be stolen out of your hand, Lord. I come against all the deception the enemy would try to lay down that comes to the school system, current, and the media. I pray, Lord, you just put your angels round about them. Keep them, Lord, in the love of God. Keep them, Lord, closely adhering to the teachings of the parents and what they're learning here in this church. And use their lives to impact many that they might touch their generation with the glory of God. Lord, just bless us here as we go into your word today. I pray, Lord, that you would just fill our hearts with love and joy and peace of this season. Carry us through the midnight hour, if you should tarry, that we will not faint on the way, Lord, but we'll be strong and we'll bring many with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hallelujah. So, you know what the world needs, just like it did then, is a Savior. Pardon me? They need love. Remember somebody said, the Beatles sang, "All we need is love." Remember that? And then they broke up. But the world needs a Savior. And this is the one who will save us. You know, if you go, I've been listening to the account of Luke and Matthew and listening to it on my, as I drive down the road, I got this little speaker. Where'd that thing go? My new toy this year. How long has it been out, Bluetooth? Man, I'm really hip. This year, I'm up on it. I got my Bluetooth because my stereo, I took it to a shop in the city and they said, "Well, we need your truck for a few hours." I said, "I don't have a few hours." But I did have a chance to go to a store for a few minutes and buy one of these things. And now I can just go down the road and listen to whatever I want to listen to. Amen. I've been listening to the Bible a lot. And Mary, when she's only, who knows how old she is, maybe 15, 16, not very old, but what a prophecy that came out of her about what it meant for the Christ to come. So the world, even at that time, was in an anticipation of there's a Savior coming, there's a Messiah coming, amen, just like today. How many remembers the Planet of the Apes? I mean, he's old enough to remember that. Remember at the end, some old ugly looking apes out there and they're all going. But the world needs God. And Jesus came. And they were hoping that at that time he would save them from their enemies. They were hoping at that time that they'd be saved from the oppressiveness of the government that they were under. If you think about it, the Jewish nation was under occupation by the Roman government. And there were others that needed to be delivered from crippling diseases. How many know that's the same today? Some were born that way. Some that happened along the way in life. And Jesus came and began to bring those things as he entered his ministry. And he waited like 30 years, I guess it was. But, you know, he was just a regular Jewish boy growing up, born in a simple town, small town called Bethlehem. Had to run off into Egypt because a decree went out to kill every child 2 years and under. The angel of the Lord came and in a dream and says, okay, that Herod's dead, you can go back. And so they came back into Nazareth. And every place that they went, everything that he was doing, he was fulfilling Scripture. You know, that ought to give you and I hope that this world is not just some wild idea that got spun out into the universe, but God has a plan for every single person. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. I know I've shared this before, but, you know, an author, at least a good author, knows how the book is going to end before they write the book. How many knew that already? I think some of them are just trying to figure out how they're going to end this thing. But a good author, and God knew the end and knows the end from the beginning. And so what the world didn't need was an advisor. How many knows we got lots of advisors? Even at that time, the world had almost advised themselves into hell. But what do you do with a drowning man when somebody's drowning? And we're not even that mean to tell them, well, while you're out there, let me give you a lesson on how to float without a flotation device. Or let me give you a lesson on how to make one arm go this way and the other one go that way, and then talk about how graceful he's starting to learn how to swim. That's all for later. When a drowning man is drowning, what do they need? Well, they need air, but they need a strong grip to pull them out of that situation. And I'm excited about, you know, the new year, and even what Bob was sharing up here, that we are going to sharpen our skills on how to present the gospel in a way that hits the mark. Amen. That I've been praying a lot that God would give us all a sense of urgency for the hour. People are drowning. When Jesus came, this was a matter of life and death. It was a matter he set his eye like a flint. What do I got up there? Oh, a bug. Wow. That's a good eye. So, even when the bugs are coming to church, they need to get saved. Amen. Not that one. The first thing we need to learn when someone's drowning is get them to safety. Now, I don't know. I just thought about this. This is after I put this message together, but I remember reading about, I think President Wilson came back from the League of Nations all excited to bring the world into a one world order of things. And we weren't ready for it yet, but he came back and he or one of his comrades made the statement that what the world needs now is a leader, one leader. And I don't care if he be devil or he be God, give us that leader. And we know by revelations that the world's headed in that direction. We know by the books of Daniel, Daniel saw that there would be a leader, and trying to push Jesus Christ aside. But how many knows that nobody has ever done what Jesus has done as far as being able to change the human heart? Even in his day, when he did all the many miracles and all the different things, and the religious leaders would stand around and go, wait a minute, you know, this is great. Dead people are being raised, blind are seeing, the lame are walking, and lepers are cleansed. This is all pretty good, but what good thing ever came out of Nazareth? Or go look and see, the Savior is not coming out of this town. In other words, they were looking at, thinking that they had prophecy all nailed down. They were trying to be intellectual about it. And the blind man, the crippled man, had to chastise the religious leader, order of the day, and say, listen, are you serious? When's the last time anybody did what this man did. When have you ever seen a blind man see? He had to remind him that, hey, what does a Savior have to do to meet your criteria? And what he did say, and it's good for us to keep this in mind, is he said that them that are well have no need of a physician. But those that are drowning, those that are in desperate straits, see, that's the people that Jesus came to find. He said, I came seeking them that are lost. I came seeking those that are sick and undone. And he said that, and then he prayed one time, and he said, God, Father, I thank you that you're hiding these things from this. These people think they're so bright, and giving it unto babes, unto children, unto people that are in need of. So what the world needs is a Savior. And if we can't give them that Savior, they're going to look somewhere else. And I'm just thinking about how some people just look in other places. You know, there's people that have a secure job. Maybe, I don't even know how secure that is anymore. I'm trying to use illustrations that will apply. But a government job, pretty secure, good benefits, or at least it has a track record that it has been that way. And they're in a position where they're getting the good benefits, and maybe their health is holding up pretty good, and it comes time for a religion for them. Well, they're looking for something that has a decent philosophy to it, but probably not a cross, and not something that has strings attached that's going to mess with their current order of life. But when you're drowning, when you're a single mom that's trying to juggle the finances and working two or three jobs and trying to keep the kids fed and out of trouble, and you're coming up with more red ink at the end of the month and facing an eviction, how many knows that person needs a touch from the church? We can reach them. Now, they might go to some kind of class later on in life and study philosophy or study some other study of religion and all that kind of stuff, but right now, when they're in that position, they need a Savior. And that's what I'm praying, that God will just help us to look and see. You know, just like I've shared this before, Jesus told Peter, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So what did fishers do? Well, first of all, they find out where the fish are or where they think they are. So we're going to be learning in a new year a term called fishing holes, you know. Where's a good fishing hole to go to? And I like going out with Gene and them. I still can't tell them where they fish, but I can tell you that it is where there's water. Okay? But if it's not happening, boom, they pull everything in. We're getting out of here. We're going somewhere else. Because our whole endeavor today is to go home with fish. Now, I got a nice birthday present last night, Gene, from my son who's up here in the back. I got all my sons are here today, praise God. You know what he got me? He has faith that I'm going to go. I've showed him a couple pictures of fish. I got a real nice fillet knife. That's hope. Amen. But I want to just say that we need to, if anything else, I mean, I've been just asking the Lord to help us to get that sense of urgency. You know, we do it in church at the altar call time. We say, you know, Lamb, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that of a certainty? And that feels comfortable in a church house. Doesn't feel so comfortable in the office at work, does it? You know if you're going to heaven. Or somebody comes over to our, a neighbor comes over, and you know, we had this happen one time. They just came over for a different reason and ended up in our house, and later on apologized. I shared this a few weeks ago, but they said, we're sorry for staying here so long, but our home is not peaceful. But when we walked into this house, it's like a big warm blanket got wrapped around us, and we just felt such peace, we didn't want to leave. Well, that's a perfect opportunity to let them know why you have that peace. Okay, now it's kind of easy for me as a pastor to say I'm a pastor of a church, and you know, we're preachers, and that all that has a lot of connotations to it already, but every one of you, if you could change your mindset, is a minister of the gospel. So you don't have to have one of these to be a minister. The Bible says that we should all do the work of an evangelist. What's the work of an evangelist? Being ready to give the reason for that hope that is within you. So what does that mean? That means that when we're out and about, we need to realize I am a Bible right now. We forget that sometimes. I especially forgot it when COVID first hit. I don't know what happened to me with the election and with COVID lockdowns and with... I was better. I told my wife, I'm better safe. You better just put me in the house, lock me up for a while. I'm not safe to be out in public. Because I was just letting these things irritate me too much. And then I began to hear things like the store. We went to the posse meeting, and we found out that in Washington, violation of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, unreasonable fines. And they brought it up. Do you think it's unreasonable to fine a business $6,500 or something like that a day because somebody was walking around in that store without a mask on? Well, that's happening. As soon as I heard that, I thought, you know, I'm just going to keep a mask in my pocket. And if they want me to wear one, or the sign says it, I'm just going to do it. I didn't want to. But I didn't think about myself at the time. I thought about, here's this business trying to survive in a hostile environment. And so we have to ask the Lord, what can I do to be a peacemaker? And when I go out, what if after all my behavior, my little fits that I throw, they go, why do you act like that? And we know that the Bible says, be ready to give a person a reason for the hope that's in you. What if we threw a big fit and acted all crazy and then said, oh, by the way, I'm a Christian. And I go to River of Life Church. And most of the time I'm in a good mood, but today I'm just being my own real self. Well, how many knows that's not going to sell real well? Amen? And so, you know, it takes the Holy Spirit working mightily in our life, the Word of God, to bring us into alignment. And the world had tried all these things prior to Christ's coming, prior to the resurrection from the dead, prior to the release of the Holy Spirit in the earth. We sometimes, you have to go back and look at, up till that time, the people were looking desperately for that promise that was made clear back in Genesis to Adam and Eve. He said, "There, your seed is going to crush the head of this serpent that just tricked you." And so that's how many years it took until Christ was born. We got to realize that. It's a good part of how many knew that already, that the seed was Christ being born. And when he got here, he was going to strip him of his authority over mankind. And when we got born again, we got filled with the Spirit of God and got filled with the Word of God, we were going to be able to be strong enough to to not fall for every trick and everything he threw down on us. Isn't that a wonderful feeling to know that, hey, I don't have to do this by myself? Help is on the way. And when Jesus came, there was quite a stir, and I read that earlier, but that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. It goes on to say, what manner, what shall this person be? And then she prophesies. And so here we are, church. We are in the times of the end, I believe, by everything I've read, by what it looks like out there. But I have a scripture that I wrote down. It's Proverbs 14:10. It says, even in laughter, the heart is sad, and a stranger doesn't share in our joy. How many knows, I don't know if that's how it read. Yeah, there it is. How many knows that even when we're laughing and having fun and singing these songs, that there's always another wheel spinning. Somebody's not right. Somebody's sick. A child is wayward. There's a multitude of things that's going on in our mind, isn't there? Even in laughter, there's sadness. And somebody may be facing a divorce, or somebody just got a bad hospital report, doctor's report. But what the world needs, and this is what we got, I'm just going to keep saying it, and I won't say it very much longer. You guys say amen once in a while to go faster. But what the world needs is a Savior. Desperately. And as the time of the end closes in, there's going to be more and more desperations going on around us. And we need to be careful to preach the good news gospel. Amen. You know, we just had this huge storm. I mean, if you watch the news, it's like I don't know, they use words like bomb cycle. Here's what I know about it. It got cold. Okay? I had to drive slower. Okay? I'm going to have to go down to the store and buy some glue because I broke a water pipe. But we're here today. It's above freezing just about in this part of the country. And we're going to move on. But how many knows that it wasn't very far behind us that everywhere you look were blue skies? But even on days on end of blue skies, a gray streak can start building. And pretty soon the skies are dark and the wind's blowing and the storms come. How many knows that life is just like that? We're going to have our blue sky days, and then we're going to have the storms are on the horizon. I mean, that's just how it is. But we don't have to go through this by ourselves any longer. Jesus came to this earth, and the announcement was made. This day, a Savior is born. Now for me, I can go back to my childhood, but where it really made the difference and I really locked in and began to get tied into a church and really began to apply myself to the Word of God, I can tell you the day and the hour. Now, not everybody maybe can do that, but it was like night and day. And I could say that day, August 17th, 1975, this day, the Savior that was born 2,000 years ago is now my Savior. He's my Lord. Amen. Everything he came to do for them is now being applied to me, and it's working out. And I began to find out. I mean, at the beginning, I didn't know if I'd last a whole day. Day went by. I made it through the first day. The second day, I actually got a birthday card from my mother on day 30. Happy spiritual birthday. 30 days. And I remember the Lord told me in a dream that day that this all went down. I told him I didn't know if I was going to be able to hold out. He said, "Can you make it for 1 hour?" I said, "Yeah, I could. I think I could do it 1 hour, as long as you stand right beside me and don't let go." How about 2 hours? How about three? Got me all the way up to 24. And I said, he goes, "That's all I'm asking, son. Just one day at a time." And then I don't know if I knew that song by then. I'd have to go back and look at my Google. When did that song come out? "One day at a time, sweet Jesus." Remember that? That's what it is. One day at a time. Hallelujah. And so, we're not, I don't know about you guys, but I'm willing to look for those that are, just like Jesus said, "I didn't come to save those that are already, that don't need a physician." Okay? You go down to the hospital, you know who's walking up to the front door? They're not going in there to say hi. Something's wrong, right? And Jesus said, "I didn't come for those that don't need a physician. I came for to seek and save them that are lost." And my eyes, I'm asking the Lord, give me eyes to see, Lord. Let me see through your eyes. This is not a debate club, not a philosophy class. My instructions, according to this word, is to preach the word. Now, if you think about, go back and look at what that word "preach" means. It speaks of a town crier or a herald, someone that would stand up and say, "Hey, listen, this the danger ahead." Amen. Listen, Christ has come. In Hebrews, it says today is the day of salvation. And don't say, "I got tomorrow." I mean, we don't know when tomorrow's going to be. Think about it. I'm looking out here, Chuck's truck, not to pick on truck, but but he's going down the road, four-wheel drive. Amen. And, thank God he had a pretty strong front end on there, but bad roads. How many knows every time we go down the road? I was coming home the other day and two trucks on that Mary Hill crossed the yellow line in that hard corner. And if I would have had a bigger truck, I wouldn't have made it. But since I had a little car, it scared the tar out of me, but I had a little car, I could just about touch the guardrail and keep from getting nailed. That's how our lives are lived, you guys. Angels all around me. Praise God. We need a Savior. And we're going to need Him all the way until the end. Even in laughter, the heart can be sad. Job said, "Man is born for trouble, even as the sparks fly upward." We can be in the middle of having everything going on, and then there's something that's going in our family. We go far enough. We look out. We can't just be in the ivory tower. Amen. We've got to come out where the people are and try to be His hands, His feet, to touch people. Praise God. So, in Hebrews, it says that today is the day of salvation. That's pretty strong words, and it's good for us to read what the word says, because it helps. I can say it, you can get it secondhand, but when you read it, and it says, "Don't say later on." How many likes it when somebody says later? Let's just say you're a boss man, and or your mom. "Hey, son, would you take the trash out later?" How's that go over? Huh? Hey, would you clean, pick up the toys, kids? Later, Dad. We got other stuff right now. You know, we do that. People do that all the time. The Bible says, do not say, I have another day. Today is the day of salvation. And don't do what the children of Israel did. I'm just paraphrasing what it says in Hebrews. Don't do what they did when they provoked me to anger all those 40 years, and I swore in my wrath, you will not enter into my rest. You, in fact, King James gets even more brutal. It says, their carcasses were scattered throughout that wilderness. And the next generation that grew up got to go with Joshua to cross over. So God's not happy when people say later. So when we're preaching the gospel, we have to really be asking the Lord, how do we bring it in a way? We're fishing for men. How do we bait the hook, if you will? How do we present the gospel in a way that causes them to want what we have? I remember my pastor years ago, he would say, you know, one of his saints would be out and about and it looked like they'd been sucking on lemons all day. And then they said, what's the deal? Oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm a Christian. And then they jump back and go, is it contagious? That was just an illustration that he would bring to us, that it's very important how we carry ourselves. That yes, we can have sorrow, even in laughter. I'm not telling that, you know, we can't just go around constantly with this fake smile on our face. But there should always be a hope that's in us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what is going down. And so the great challenge today for all of us is to ask the Lord to give us his heart, because God loves people. Amen. He cares about people. All kinds of people. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of confusion in the world today. That's being, people are just, they're lost and undone. How many knows when you're lost, you're lost? Doesn't matter. You know, your compass doesn't, you don't have a compass. And, man, I'll tell you, just being able to bring hope is what our challenge is. So this is what I wrote down in my closings, and just, I'm going to close out early today, I think. But the great challenge is, God, give us a sense of urgency. This gospel that we preach is not just a good philosophy that to try and have other people add to the list. There's too many scriptures that said there is salvation in none other. There's no other name. See, we're going to learn all these verses, you guys, going through the course, and then we'll, those of you that aren't yet, we're going to be practicing and helping you. You're going to, but there's all kinds of verses. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. And one of the first ones I learned as a convert, new convert, in Isaiah, it said that there is no other Savior. God said, I looked everywhere. And he said, is there another God out there that was formed? Here's the God of the universe. You think he's got a pretty good eye on what's going on out there? He said, if there is one, I don't know about it. There is no other God. There's no other Savior. That the name of Jesus is that his name, that there's salvation and no other. Amen. And so it doesn't matter what the denomination is. And as far as, you know, looking at the various denominations, I won't name them all, but the ones that are still preaching Christ, every one of our call and every one of your call, whether you stand back here or whether you're out and about in the marketplace, our call is to have a sense of urgency that we should be preaching Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is coming back, and yes, he was born in a manger, but how many know he's not in a manger anymore? There was in his lifetime Gethsemane. There was that hour of trial in that garden where he sweat great drops of blood, where his prayer to his Father was, if this cup can pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours. How many knows when you know there's a great trial coming, if you could get out of it, you would? Jesus said, don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels right now. I could destroy this world if I wanted to, but that's not why I came. I didn't come to destroy it, but to save it. There was a Gethsemane. There was Pilate's court. There was the crucifixion. Amen. But that's not where it ended. Then there was the resurrection. Hallelujah. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Is that your prayer? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I remember one of the first songs and some that really made impact on me was a little blonde lady from, I forget what her name was, from Australia or somewhere. But she wrote a song, "That Blood Flows to the Lowest Valley and to the Highest Mountain." There's nobody that God won't reach down to bring up. Nobody that's gone so low. There's nobody, even the highest. People think they're on, got the world by the tail. He still offers to them his hand. He says, you're drowning, you just don't know it. And that's part of what we're going to be learning, guys, is that the world, a lot of people feel like I've got it going on, I'm not as bad as others, but we're going to be teaching how everybody without Christ is a drowning man or woman. That's the reality of it. But we're not going to leave him there. Everybody that knows they're drowning is going to be willing to reach out for hope. Amen. And so we have our instructions. Preach the word. Jesus came out of the grave, showed himself to his disciples. I love how Luke starts out. For 40 days he walked in through walls, disappeared, changed his appearance. They didn't recognize him sometimes. Then they would recognize him. And then they watched him ascend up to heaven. And they said, the angels stand there saying, the same way that he went up, he's coming back. Amen. You know, we got to keep this hope alive in this church. And I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to close in song. But Luke was a physician. And he happened to be a physician that you could understand his writing. Not all physicians you can understand their writing. But he said, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. And then he goes on to tell in great detail the account of what life was like in the days of Christ. This is not some fable, church. We were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Pretty hard to argue with an eyewitness, isn't it? What do you think you saw? It's not, hey pal, it's not what I think I saw. It's what I saw. I saw it. Got it? If this thing could have been disputed in those days, if they could have found the body, don't you think that the testimony would be completely different? But there's no body. You can still go to the Middle East. They'll take you on tour. They say, hey, here lies the great Muhammad. Ah, that's all. All these tour buses. I never saw so many. You saw the tour buses. Never see so many tour buses in your whole life? Here lies Confucius. Ah, here lies Confucius. Now, and they go through the list. Then they go to the empty tomb. Hey, Martha, there ain't nobody in there. Yeah. This is what we preach. Where is He now? He's at the right hand of the power. And I believe He's in the starting blocks. I believe He's just, hey, come on, Father, just, you know, shoot the gun. I'm ready to come down. Amen. And then there's going to be a whole nother order of things. We won't go into that today, but praise God. Preach the word. There's born unto you this day a Savior. Now just look at your neighbor and say, what the world needs is a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. Father, I just thank You for this Christmas service. Lord, we thank You for the songs that we were able to sing. And Lord, it's hard to even express, really, the gratitude. When we just hard to even take it all in, what You did for us and what is to come. Help us to get deeper understanding, revelation, like Paul was able to say after his many tribulations and trials, that he considers those things just a small thing in light of the glory that waits on the other side. God, bring that revelation down to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Touch Your people. Keep everyone safe on these highways. Lord, let the healing power and the miracle power that's available in heaven, Lord, let it just be. Let us have arms wide open, just ready to receive and appropriate into our lives all that You have for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.